We are finishing up Galatians, like Daniel said, and so we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6 today, so if you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. We've kind of been looking at this book of Galatians. It's Paul's kind of red-hot, guns-blazing, kind of forceful coming against some false teaching that had come into the church, and he's correcting it. He's talking about the truth and the real liberty, the real freedom of Jesus, and how they once started out so well and so good, but they had been distracted by some legalism, religious obligation. And so we've looked at all these different things. Tim has talked about what true freedom looks like. We heard from Andino a few weeks ago on how easy it is to be distracted from the true message of Jesus. And now as we kind of get to the end of this letter, Paul begins to do this kind of, this is how you were, but this is how you are now. And he begins to walk us through what it looks like to walk according to the Spirit, to engage in this life of the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is always a chain reaction from God's love to our life. And today he leaves us at the end of this book with this admonition, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Can I ask you guys a question that I've been asking myself? How are things going in your life right now? What's your passion level like? What's your enthusiasm level like? I'm not like an enthusiastic guy like Daniel. Like when you meet Daniel, Daniel is like, we're going for it. He could have the title Director of Enthusiasm. Mine would be Director of Being Subdued. Like, but I've been asking myself, like Ryan, what's your passion level at right now? What are things like in my life? This time last year, almost exactly this time last year, I turned 40. It's all downhill from here, right? It's like coasting downhill on a bike. It takes no effort at all to die, right? No, and when I turned 40, there was something about that number that kind of like it motivated me, right? It motivated me. I began to do some things differently. I began to eat right, began to exercise, joined CrossFit, stopped eating hot chips. Now, maybe it was a little bit of fear, right? Like 40 is a big number, and if I'm not healthy, you know, like the rest of my life could be bad. And you know, like I'm going to get sick and blood pressure and all these things were kind of roaming around in my head. And so I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to make some changes. And so I did. Made some changes. But you know what? When you make changes motivated by fear, they don't last long term. And here I am a year later. I'm barely exercising. I'm tired. Staying up too late, and I'm eating hot chips again. Yeah. You know, it's tough. Like you get tired, right? And I think that's kind of how I feel. I take an inventory of my own life, and I see how easy it is to lose sight of the race that God has called me to run. To develop in my life the perseverance it takes to be exactly who he designed me to be. I'm not going to be moving around a lot today like I normally do because I played squash yesterday and I can barely move. So I'm at least not exercising. I'm just barely exercising. Proverbs tells us that without vision, we will perish. Without an identity for who God has designed us to be, we'll throw off all restraint and we'll do whatever comes natural. And that path, Proverbs promises us, leads to destruction. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that we've got to throw off all of the things that hinder us, all of the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that he has marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the finisher, the perfecter, the author, the pioneer of our faith. What about you? Are you worn out? Are you tired? Are you out of the game? Have you maybe removed yourself from the things that you once were a part of? Have you gotten out of the fray because you're tired? The greatest thing that I've ever heard was a quote from Mark Twain who said, "It's never too late to become who you might have been." It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your situation, your circumstance, or anything. It's never too late to become who you might have been. But you know what? Weariness can still be an issue in our lives. Is weariness an issue for you? Sometimes I see this process play out in my life, and maybe you see it in yours as well. You get tired. Does anybody ever get tired? Am I the only one in here who's tired? You know, but what happens when I get tired is I get frustrated. When I get tired, I get frustrated, and then when I'm frustrated, things just aren't going the way that I wanted them to go. And I act out. Nothing's changing. The things that I wanted to change, they're not changing fast enough for me. I want the California plan. Easy come, easy go, but I want it now. You know, and that's kind of the issue with anything in our life is that it takes perseverance. But when we're tired, we get frustrated, and when we get frustrated, we get unfulfilled. I had a goal, I had a dream, I wanted to change, but it's not working out, it just seems too hard. And so I give up. I quit. We get out of the game. Or we give in to the great lie of this generation. If something's hard, then I shouldn't do it. It should be easy. This new life, this transformation journey that Jesus has brought us on, it should be easy. I should just pray a prayer and things should just change. And you know what? God is faithful. Sometimes that does happen. But over and over and over again, as a pastor, I've seen that it's a long journey in an obedient direction to God's word. A long obedience in the same direction. And I think for me, maybe the real issue is that when I get tired, when I get frustrated, when I get unfulfilled, the problems and the issues in my life seem to be the biggest thing. So much bigger than anything else. So much bigger than God's faithfulness. So much bigger than God's grace and forgiveness and walking according to His Spirit. And so you know what I try and do is I try and fix things myself. Even though I know I can't, even though I know that God is the only one that can deal with my issues, He's the only one who can fix the issue of my sin, He's the only one who can fix my heart, I try and just lace my boots up a little bit tighter and get things done. And that just leads to more weariness. And I think sometimes when I'm that way, I've lost sight again of that race that God's called me to run. And I've lost sight of how faithful God is, how amazing He is, how beautiful He is. In those times, I think maybe I'm concerned with more of my own convenience than I am actually being transformed in community to the likeness of Jesus. Because being transformed in community is difficult. It requires confession. It requires forgiveness. It requires for me to be humble. And that's difficult, especially when I'm tired, when I'm frustrated, and I'm unfulfilled. So where's your passion level? We all have this kind of bucket, this tank of energy, of life, of life-giving nutrients. And, you know, it's a tank, it's a barrel, it's a bucket, however you want to call it. How is it? Where is your level? Is it full? Are you just pumped about life? Is it, like, gotten about halfway and you're trying to decide whether or not you're half full or half empty? Or maybe it comes down and you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And the bottom of the barrel is kind of where I've been a little bit lately. I just got back from Tasmania. I went and did some training down there for something we're going to do in November. I'm pretty excited to share that with you guys in just a few weeks. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But I went down and been traveling all day, right? Got up at 5, got on an airplane, traveled down, got to this place for the training, and it was all-day meetings. It was my favorite, right? Just like all-day meetings. And see, here's the thing, is sometimes we lose sight of that race. We lose sight of how amazing and faithful, like I said, that God is, how beautiful He is. And you know what He does in His faithfulness? He's so good to ambush us when we need it, to replenish that passion in our life. Because if you don't know where your passion bucket is, you're probably not really even concerned with filling it back up. And the thing is we've got to have these times of refreshing and replenishing, because as we give out, we need to be putting back in. And I had been giving out. I've been tired and weary, you know, like how life is. We're building a building, you know. I got kids at home with a broken leg. It's, you know, issues, right? And I was a bit tired. I was a bit weary. I got down to Tasmania, and I mean, you guys know me. Like, I love people, but I love you because I know you, right? And if you put me into a room of 30 people I don't know, that is just not my favorite thing. And so I'm sitting there with a friend of mine who'd gone with me, and I'm in this room, and they're talking at me all day long, and like, God clearly spoke to me. And I don't have moments like this a lot, right? Like where I know that I know that I know in the moment that God said this to me. And I know that God spoke to me. And He was like, Ryan, I need you to engage. I know it's going to cost you. But I need you to make a decision to engage with these people. Because it's going to be good for you. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm tired. I don't want to get to know anybody else. I've got lots of people that I love in my life. And I'm only going to see these people for 2 days. I'm never going to see them again. Why should I invest any of my important energy and passion into people that I don't know and I'm never going to see again? I'm having this like ongoing conversation with God while someone's telling me how to do something. You ever do that? You ever just like not even there, but you're there? And so at the end of the conversation with God, I had come to this point of where I'm like, okay, I know, God, of course you're right. Okay, I'm going to invest. I'm going to engage. What it really boiled down to was I'm going to share who I am with these people, even though I don't know them. And for me, that takes an act of courage. And so I did, and I found throughout this whole weekend that God ambushed me with passion in a way that I had not ever done before. He had never done it this way. And see, that's the thing, is that we are in charge of replenishing our own passion. It's our job to be in the Scriptures. It's our job to be in that time with God, resting in His presence. But there are also different ways that He encourages us and brings passion to our life. What is it for you? For me, honestly, it's Monday coffee dates with my wife. It's a good book. It's the promise of a new book. It's climbing high places with my boys. It's an incredibly good meal. There are different ways that I fill my passion bucket. But as you can see from the way that I do it, it doesn't really involve a lot of people. But you know what? God was so good to ambush me that weekend and show me that sometimes I do need people in my life. That even when I'm weary, I can make a decision to be in community and to be transformed by His presence. I don't know, it was maybe 2 months ago, a little bit longer, I had this thought, right? Like, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I had this thought, it'd be really great to have some black pudding. Like some good Scottish black pudding. And so I put it on Facebook. Hey, we're on the Sunshine Coast. Can I get some good Scottish cuisine? And like everybody thought I was joking, right? Like good Scottish cuisine, that's a joke in itself, right? I thought all Scottish cuisine was based on a dare. You know, and I'm like, no, I'd really like to have some black pudding with breakfast. And I just kind of gave it up because nobody's like, there's nowhere to get it. I guess we're a long ways from Scotland. And so I just kind of forgot about it. And I got to Tasmania. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm having this ongoing conversation with God about being a good person. And one of the guys that I was with says, hey, let's go get some breakfast. And so we walked a little ways down and we found this cafe. And we walked in. I sat down at the cafe and ordered a coffee and looked at the menu. And on the menu was black pudding. And it was amazing. You know, and I looked at Jeff across the table from me, and I said, Jeff, this is an answer to a prayer that I didn't even pray. Like, it became this really cool moment for me where I understood that God is so good. Yeah. He's so good. And it's my responsibility to keep replenishing the passion in my life by being constantly aware of His goodness and His life and His light. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Keep your spiritual fervor up, is what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 11, he says, keep your zeal for the Lord. Keep your spiritual fervor up. You're as on fire for God as you want to be. You see, but what happens is we get into this easy way of being tired and frustrated and unfulfilled, and then we just expect that our bucket is going to magically replenish. Like, actually, it's the pastor's job to replenish my bucket. Or it's my life group leader's job to replenish my bucket. Or it's the youth pastor's job, or the women's pastor's job, or the kids pastor's job to replenish my kids' bucket. No, it's your responsibility to keep in step with the Spirit. But you know what? God is so faithful that He'll sometimes ambush you with His goodness to replenish that which has gone dry. Don't grow weary in doing good. Make it a priority to replenish your passion tank. Don't give in to being tired, frustrated, and unfulfilled. Don't be lacking in zeal, but keep up that spiritual fervor. I don't know about you, but there's some areas that I'm looking to reestablish some vision in my life, some more passion. I want a richer time of spiritual formation with God. I picked up a book this weekend, again, that I had bought earlier in the year when my fervor for that spiritual formation time was strong. I picked it back up this weekend and started reading it again during my quiet time. And I was so encouraged. I'm like, why did I ever put this down? Why did I put this down? I want to have a richer time of spiritual formation. I want to grow in the spiritual disciplines. I want to see that the life that God has for me is not because of duty and obligation, but it's life and joy and peace that I can share with Him and with others. I want to be more intentional with my family. I don't want to just be merely present. I want to be with them. I want to be more intentional with my fitness. I want to be more intentional with my ways and means of being generous. I've come to the conclusion that because God is with me, weariness doesn't have to win any longer. I can trust Him. I can trust Him with my life. He is bigger than any problem or any issue, and He has never failed, and He's not going to start now. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And because of that, because of His love, I can continue on and on and on doing the good that He has designed and redeemed me to do. What does it mean for you to do good? What does it look like? How do you see it? I think this is a big issue for us as a church, how we see doing good. Because often we'll come in, and as pastors, we're really good at sharing the opportunity and the invitation to do good, aren't we? Every week, it's another notice about how you can do good. Do you see doing good as an obligation? Do you see doing good? Do you see serving? Do you see loving? Do you see in enlarging your heart for God and for others as duty? I think sometimes that's how I've seen it. It's that every week it's another opportunity for this. It's another opportunity for that. We need someone to help with welcoming. They need kids in the creche. They need kids workers in the creche. They need help with the youth. The coffee and tea people need help. And they're like, oh, here we go again. It's just Ryan asking for more warm bodies. More people to sign up to do a job. More duty, more obligation, more hard work. Man, that guy Ryan, he's a Pharisee. He's just heaping more and more on me. Doesn't he know what my life's like already? Doesn't he know how hard it is at home? Doesn't he know that I'm just trying to make ends meet and I can't think about doing another thing? No, he doesn't know. But he also knows that it's not obligation to do good. It's not duty. We've talked about it over and over and over again that we don't want God to just come and fix our problems. We don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches. We believe that God comes to give us a new heart. Daniel spoke eloquently about this when he talked last time, about how this verse from Ezekiel, that he will take our heart of stone and he will give us a new heart, a heart of flesh. But you know what? When we begin that journey, or when we're tired, or when we're frustrated, when we're unfulfilled, our heart becomes like, it's real, it's there. It just reminds me of the heart from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Right? It's just a few sizes too small. And that's kind of how it is when we begin this journey with Jesus, is like, I come because I need him. He's my Savior, he's my Lord, I need him. But it's got to grow into this gift. I love him for who he is, not for what he can do for me. Instead of seeing doing good as obligation, we see it as an opportunity to fill our heart with love for him and others, and it can't help but get bigger. Every time we engage in these acts of love, these acts of doing good, our heart should be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we become more like Christ, as we become more transformed, then God has less and less conversations with me about loving people. And I think it's the same for all of us. You're invited here into a place where you can use your gifts that God has given you to be a part of the community that lives and breathes and believes in seeing God's kingdom advance and people's lives transformed. If this is your community and you don't get involved, it's a disaster. I remember Daniel's message from, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago now. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. This is your community. If it's your community, if you don't get involved, it will be a disaster. And I know there's some things probably running through your mind right now. It can be scary to get involved when you've never done it before. That's true. But I believe that God will give you courage. You might have tried to get involved, and it didn't work out. Ryan didn't call you back. Daniel didn't make contact. That's true. It might have happened. I'm sorry. Maybe it was the wrong area. That you weren't maybe built for that area. You don't really like kids. And so you got involved in the creche and it just made you crazy. Maybe try another area. Please, if you don't like kids, don't get involved in the creche. If you don't like smiling, don't become a welcomer. Right? Like, we all have a part to play. There's somewhere here in the pool where you can have a good time. Things do and happen without me already. And this is one that I think we get a lot. We come to church and everything's set up. You know, we come to church and it just kind of magically happens. Everything is great. They have enough. I don't know why they keep asking for people. Things look great around here. And you know what the truth is things will continue to happen without you. But it will be so much better if you were involved. Thank God you're here. You know, see, this is the, I think the issue is that when we believe that anytime there's a call to engage, a call to action, a call to do good, a call to serve, that it's just filling a role. Like it's just filling up a coffee cup. It's just babysitting. It's just setting up chairs. I can't tell you how angry that makes me to think that that would be how people feel about serving. Because if none of those things happened, this would not have been a place where that girl could have come and been embraced. You have been invited into the greatest story that has ever been told. And we need every single part. If stories like that are going to continue to happen, it's not just setting up chairs. It's not just babysitting. It's not just filling up a coffee cup. It is being the hands and feet of Jesus. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. Develop perseverance. Replenish your passion. Remember that God is bigger than your problems. Revisit the fruit of the Spirit in your life daily. Rest in God's presence. Spend time praying. And don't ever, ever do it alone. Don't grow weary in doing good. For me, I think I really like to distill everything down to one simple thing. And I've been thinking a lot about this over the past weeks and months of as we've been looking at this transformation journey. And for me, it's really simple. I read a book a couple years ago that really impacted me. It was called Love Does. And in it, Bob Goff, the author, talks about what it looks like to love the person in front of you. Who is the person in front of you? It's the person at home. It's the person at work. It's the person in the car in front of you when you're at the plaza trying to find a parking spot and they steal it. It's learning to love the person in front of you. And I'll tell you what, when we're engaged in loving the person in front of us, our passion tank is going to get depleted and you've got to learn how to replenish it. But you've got to work that out with you and God. What does it look like? You've got to develop perseverance in your life to keep doing it because you'll get tired, you'll get frustrated, and you'll feel unfulfilled. But the only thing that can combat that kind of unfulfillment is the love of God. And it's the love of God that teaches us and reveals to us and helps us to be more aware of what it looks like to love the person in front of us so that we can go back into that cycle of replenishing our vision, remembering that God is bigger than our problems, spending time revisiting those fruits of the Spirit, spending time resting in His love. We're so tired because we're so busy. And then loving the person in front of you. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. I don't know like what that reward looks like. Some versions say you'll get a reward. I don't know what that looks like. I can tell you in my life it's never been because I do this, God does that. It's never been transactional. It's never been Him filling up my bank account. It's never been Him giving me a body like Brad Pitt. It's never been anything that I could quantify as kind of a worldly accomplishment. It has always been, for me, making that shift from seeing doing good as an obligation as actually enlarging my heart for Him and for others. Giving me the ability to sit in a room full of 20 people and by the end of 2 days, know every single one of their names. Like that was a miracle in and of itself. To help learn to love the person in front of me, even though it's going to cost me. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap a harvest. And for me, that harvest has always been looking more like Jesus. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. God, thanks for your faithfulness. God, thanks for your beauty. God, thanks for your continued work of revealing your Son to us so that we could be who you designed us to be. God, I pray that you, God, would open our eyes to the ability, God, to see how it is that we can fill our passion bucket back up so that we can continue moving forward on the race that you've called us to with perseverance. God, becoming more like Christ, being transformed into his image. We love you and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.